opening up just a committee meeting at this point and open up a work session. We don't have a quorum. We should get one shortly, I believe. And today we're going to be talking about the Community College and Workforce Development, House Bill 5012. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Steve Bender of LFO.
Thank you, District Chair and members. I just wanted to discuss with you or let you know the materials that you have before you that have been distributed to you today. There is a one-page table that identifies the general fund component of the department's budget, and that shows the total recommendations by package. This is very similar to one that you saw at your last work session on this bill last Wednesday. The only change, I believe, is in package 104, the office that I'm calling the office operations POP. We do have a specific recommendation now, which we did not have on Wednesday. The two yellow areas show total reductions of about just shy of $1.9 million from the levels in the co-chair's budget. So these are reductions from their levels. However, I do know that they were anticipating debt service reductions in order to find funding for the $17 million increment over the governor's budget in community college support fund. The other item that I've distributed to you today is a memo with today's date. It has the details of the LFO recommendation. This has details for both the general fund packages and decisions that you see on the one-page sheet, as well as details regarding recommendations relating to federal and other funds, and also to some revenue adjustments. And then we do have as well a one-page sheet titled Proposed CCWD Budget Notes. These are two budget notes that the co-chairs have approved for your consideration if you choose to adopt them. Otherwise, I think there's an additional budget note here that's labeled Proposed 5012 Proposed Budget Note. I don't know if the committee will be entertaining this one or not. If there aren't any questions, please let me know how you'd like me to proceed, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Walker.
I'm sorry, I was a bit distracted for a moment. Did you talk about the Dash 1 amendment that's lying here?
No, and I apologize for that, Senator. The Dash 1 amendments were distributed. I have not seen these prior to this meeting. These are amendments to the bill, 5012, and it does appear that these are the so-called escalator clause amendments. If the committee wishes to discuss those, we can go into those in some detail to see exactly what it is that they would do if they were adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'd like
Senator
to
Walker.
Talk about these whenever it's appropriate.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of time, what would you?
Well, Mr. Chair, in order to approve this budget and to provide a recommendation to the full Ways and Means Committee, we would recommend that you make the 12 recommendations, that you approve the 12 recommendations that are contained in the memo. These, again, relate to the adjustments in appropriations, expenditure limitations, and revenues. Recommendation number 13 relates to performance measures and performance measure targets. What we've done here is we have based the proposed performance measure targets on the ones that the agency submitted, adjusted for the impact of the funding packages that would be approved in the LFO recommendation. So we would need at some point, Mr. Chair, for that to be approved. Then there is the question of the budget notes. If you wish to consider them, they will probably be a separate vote or two votes for them.
Okay. Senator Devlin.
Are we going to go through item by item, or do you want motions?
Well, I think I need one more representative.
So, and to call the House.
I know that Representative Jensen said that if we got him off the floor, that would be...
Did you see his turn on the floor?
So I don't... Can someone... Okay, thank you.
You can tell that there's a lot of motivation today.
Mr. Chairman, while you are here, while we're waiting, have the co-chairs approved the Dash 1 amendments?
Not to my knowledge.
Does that matter?
Yes, it does.
That doesn't look good.
It's going the wrong way.
I call it house. This is not supposed to go this way. It's supposed to go the other way. Okay.
Okay. Which makes it difficult to do business if you keep getting dirty.
No, because we're passing all the Senate bills. You guys aren't passing our bills, but we're passing your bills.
Put our bills on docket sheet for me.
That's why I am. Okay, I'm going to recess the committee so we can go vote. All right, I'll open up a work session on House Bill 5012, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sarge.
One motion.
One, two. Oh, yes. Yes.
We have a motion for you.
We have a motion.
We don't have a quorum.
No, we do.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations as presented in the a memo from Steve Bender dated June 11, 2007.
Thank you. Senator Starr has moved the LFO recommendation on House Bill 5012. Is there any discussion?
I have a parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, sir. Barnhart.
Thank you. There are a number of things that we vote on in this committee, and I'm still confused as to how they all fit together. And so I'm going to ask this question. There are some budget notes here that we're looking at. Is that separate from this motion?
Yes. So,
and then we also have a dash one amendment. Is that separate from this motion?
Yes.
Is that a part of this motion?
It is separate from this motion. So,
okay, what is this motion?
This motion is.
There's only the memo.
It relates only to the memo.
Exactly.
The bill is different than the memo. This is another thing I've never been able to figure out.
I'm sorry? The bill? The bill represents the governor's recommended levels of appropriations and expenditure limitations. And the bill, the appropriation bills, do not go into detail, really, as to what the appropriations or expenditure limitations are designed to fund. And that is the purpose. That is why the committee also prepares a budget report and goes through these discussions to get on the record what is being funded.
And the motion is on the budget report. Is that right?
Right. So, oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't here in the beginning. So the motion is on the, we should have a one sheet.
There it is. So it's about this one sheet of paper.
Yes.
Thank you. That's helpful. May I have just a moment to read it?
Absolutely. Representative Barnes, is there any other? So just for clarification, so the first we'll be voting on this, which includes the operations budget and the packages. And then following that, we will do the performance measures. And then following that, we can look at the budget notes. And then following that, we can figure out where we are.
Thanks.
We can go around. So is there any other discussion on the motion, Senator Starr's motion, to support the LFO recommendation?
Just a clarification again, Mr. Chair. I did mention this earlier, that this memo includes all of these general fund recommendations, and in addition, it includes other funds and federal funds recommendations that are not specifically on this table. It includes the recommendations from the entire budget of the department.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the committee's indulgence. I simply wanted to note that without reopening all the discussion that we've had over the last several meetings of the committee, that this is a seriously inadequate budget. It does not provide the funds that we need in order to provide the education for our young people, our education for workers needing to find other work, education for workplace development that we need. Some of the things that we're cutting out in this budget are things that we really need to be doing. It's a very serious problem, and the only reason I would consider supporting a budget like this is that we're broke. We're out of money.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Further discussion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, this is four consecutive sessions that I have been in this building where the community college workforce development portion of the budget has taken a horrid beating. It is it absolutely beyond my comprehension how the one educational service in the state delivers more for the money we put into it than either of the other two. More bang for the buck. More outcome for performance measures. But maybe again it isn't important to measure performances like that. It is with, Mr. Chair, with great regret that I see this budget for community colleges going out at this level. I would certainly have expected, as we began the session, more. Apparently there will not be more. I will support the bill in committee. I will reserve the right to both speak against it and perhaps even vote against it on the floor, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Jensen. Further discussion? Senator Walker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. With Representative Jensen and Representative Barnhart, I'm a little bit disappointed in this budget. I have to tell you, though, it is far better than the governor's proposal and extremely far better than the co-chair's proposal. So we've come a long way, but under this budget, my community college, Lane Community College, is still suffering tremendously and having to make tremendous cuts. In fact, their staff took a vote recently to lower their wages so that people would not get laid off, which is, I think, quite generous and compassionate thing to do. I know that when my husband worked for the city of Eugene in the 80s, his union didn't vote to do that, and he lost his job, and he was out of work for a year, and we were living on food stamps and very little money. So I've been there, and I know what that's like. And so I appreciate that the fellow staff at Lane Community College have taken it upon themselves to implement those kinds of measures. Clearly, Lane Community College loses under this budget because they have had significant decreases in the budget every year for a significant period of time. State funding has fallen 20% in the last 5 years. So Lane has been struggling to keep up. I know they've had a recent enrollment growth, but it's been very difficult. And I know that Rogue River is another one of the community colleges that does not do well under this budget either. 529 is really the place both these community colleges need to be. And Rogue is very concerned, as is Lane. So I'm not particularly overjoyed by this budget, but it's a lot better than it was, so we've done our work. But I hope that we look at the Stash One Amendment and take a look at how we might be able to increase the amount of money for these community colleges. Because as you know, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for every $1 we put in, we get $5 back into our economy, and that's a pretty darn good return on investment.
Thank you very much, Senator Walker. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to point out the comparison between this budget, K-12, and OUS. This budget has a 17.8% increase over the legislatively adopted 05-07 allocation. The K-12 was 17.7, and OUS was 18.4. So I would like to applaud the co-chairs for recognizing the need to bring up a greater parity, recognizing, of course, that it's not where it should be.
Jensen to carry the next bill.
Okay.
Want to vote?
I want to vote, yes, if you want to vote.
Let's go tomorrow when we're done.
It's
going to be real afternoon.
Can we
stop talking if I go?
Can we skip now?
Can't go around him? Can this chair put him at the bottom of the room?
I don't want him.
They talked it over, they thought about it, they won.
Let's do the first
thing.
Yeah,
here.
Well, the Staff called the roll. Before you called, I should I had declared a potential conflict of interest. I'm employed by one of our community colleges. So with that, we're voting on the motion.
Chair.
Senator Morse.
Aye. Do it unanimously.
Senator Walker.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Okay. Senator Edwards.
Aye.
Well, go ahead.
Senator
Jansen.
Aye.
Senator Edwards.
Aye.
Senator Bernhardt.
Aye.
Chair Bozio.
Chair Bozio. Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I'm ready for the next motion.
I am.
Move the performance measures as indicated by LFO.
Senator Devlin has moved the performance measures as indicated by LFO. Any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move the two budget notes that are on this sheet.
Senator Devlin moves the two budget notes on this sheet.
The two budget notes, college performance measures and community college support fund distribution formula.
Okay. I hope everyone has a copy of the sheet with the two performance measures. Yes, are there any Senator Devlin has moved the performance measures. Any discussion, Representative Barnhart?
I don't believe that I have seen these before. Could we have an explanation of them?
Yes. Mr. Bender. And could you explain the third one while you were doing that?
Okay. The two two performance measures on the proposed budget notes on the sheet, which Senator Devlin just moved. The first deals with college performance measures, and it basically requires that the colleges themselves report on their key performance measures to the department, which will then be responsible for reporting them to you. If I may start reading verbatim about the fifth line down or the sixth line down, I think this is where it gets sort of to the meat of this budget note. It says the legislature intends that each community college district governing board shall be responsible for meeting the key performance measures for its respective institution and communicating the results to the department, and that the department shall be responsible for assuring that results of successful programs or best practices are shared among the 17 college districts to maximize the results of each institution and managing the decision making for distribution of resources among the institutions to maximize statewide performance, recognize local investment, and reward success. So this performance measure.
Bender, that is all one sentence. One, two, three, four, five, six, 7 lines long. That's all one sentence. All right, I'll try to break it down. Thank you.
So again, this is designed to, instead of looking at performance measures entirely as a department, at the department's responsibility, for which in many cases they are not providing the services, this would have the colleges themselves, or direct, announce the expectation that the colleges themselves would report against their own performance measures, and that the department's role would be to assist college districts in disseminating information on best practices. The second budget note requires a report to the 2009 Legislative Assembly on the Community College Support Fund distribution formula. The report will be made by the department with its budget request next session. In preparing the report, the department shall seek input from community college presidents through the Oregon President's Council, and the report shall evaluate the effect on each local institution's performance outcomes of state funds appropriated through the distribution formula, state funds for specific programs, ad valorem levies, including operating capital, federal funds provided through grants or special programs, tuition fees, and other factors that the department finds to be significant. The department may also include in the report recommendations for changes in the distribution formula to handle statewide success in meeting key performance measures across the system. The department has noted that our colleges do combine a number of these resources, specifically the state funds, the ad valorem property taxes for operations and tuition and fees, and budget out of these combined. So I think we need to note that in fulfilling this requirement for a report, we may find in the report that these particular funds are noted as a combination in their impact on the performance measures of the institutions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bender. So, further discussion on these budget notes.
No, as I understand it, he was going to explain the third one as well.
Oh, I apologize.
Sorry. The third one is an additional budget note that has not been reviewed by the co-chairs that would require the Department of Community Colleges to work with the Oregon State Apprenticeship and Training Council to identify and, where and when possible, coordinate training opportunities for certified apprenticeship programs. The Department and Council will report back to the legislature in January of 2008 on the progress made to include the Joint Apprenticeship Training Committees into the State of Oregon's commitment to provide quality workforce training. The second paragraph is more descriptive and probably would not be included in the budget note itself, but it's basically is a statement of the rationale for this budget note and indications of why proponents believe that this would be helpful for you to approve.
Senator Walker, did you? I thought you said something. All right, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
I'm speaking with two gentlemen to my right, two of them only. I'll move budget note number one,
which would be the
college performance measures.
I thought you already moved both of them.
You moved both of them. Oh, I did.
You motioned
on the table.
On this
sheet.
So, I will slowly move budget notes number one, and the first and second budget notes then.
We want all of
okay, so the motion,
participate.
The motion is on the first two budget notes, college performance measures and the distribution formula. Okay. Any further discussion? Any objection on the first two budget notes? All right, seeing none, motion carries.
Richard, we can do a...
Mr. Chair, I'll move this second proposed budget note that's related to the Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee.
Senator Starr has moved the, I think it's the, well...
With the third one, whatever.
the final budget note concerning apprenticeships. Any discussion? Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, I'd like to ask Cam to come to the witness stand for a question.
Can you refer to it as the witness stand? It sounds so... What is typical...
The table?
Come before
that's
the grand
formal.
Inquisition.
Will you please...
please the chair refer to it as a sacrificial altar.
It's just getting worse.
Good afternoon, Ms. Pasquale. Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, I will note that it is not quite the middle of June, and we still have a few more days to go.
Thank you very much. Ms. Pasquale. I think Representative Edwards had a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask if you've had a chance to review the budget notes, and if so, to solicit your opinion.
Mr. Chair and Representative Edwards, yes, I have had a chance to review it and have offered alternate language to the chair and to Mr. Bender. Well, I'm not sure it qualifies as a concern. I have some interest in having the Bureau of Labor and Industries being a co-equal partner in the production of any review and report to the legislature that includes the state joint Apprenticeship Training Council, and that's my recommendation, is that if this, I guess I generally do not believe that this budget note is necessary, since we work actively with the JATC, both at the state and the local level, but if it is necessary, I think it should be a co-equal partnership with the Bureau.
And you've proposed alternate language?
Mr. Bender has the only copy that I bought. I apologize.
Yes.
I wonder if we could have that, and so we could consider that as an alternative.
Let me get this copies made of this.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, quick follow-up.
Hello?
Okay, was that the only substantive change in the alternative language?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, yes, it's a simpler paragraph. It doesn't have, as Mr. Bender indicated, the descriptive second paragraph. It just lays out that partnership.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
I think Representative Barnhart.
Okay. I just had a question. Have you vetted it with Boley? Are they satisfied with the idea that you would be working together on this budget note?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, no, I have not. I wasn't aware that this one was going to be coming forward, so I did not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Devon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that there actually are three versions of this now. The original version, which I think we talked about last week, this lighter version that came out today, and a third version that I have not actually seen, which is the shorter version. But
is it being copied?
It's being copied now.
But the motion has been made.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, I would like to see the third version, because, of course, it would certainly be in order to amend the motion by a substitution if that was was better language.
Very good.
And I wonder if you wouldn't mind a short period of time to allow that to be distributed.
Okay.
I would not mind. Would you like me to rescind my motion so we can have other motions while we get the copies?
Until we see it.
Well, you could just put this motion in advance at the moment.
Yes, Senator, I like the idea of rescinding the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll rescind the motion until we have additional copies of the other language. So. Okay.
Do we have to vote on his rescinding the motion?
No.
We do not. Okay.
Objection.
So,
without objection?
Well, how about something else?
Well, I would like to provide Representative Jensen the opportunity to vote on the first two budget notes. I believe Representative Jensen was carrying the bill, so
I don't believe he did. He have an opportunity to vote on the performance measures also.
Point well taken. So any objection to allowing Representative Jensen? So Representative Jensen, we had two separate votes that we took. One, the first one was on the performance measures.
I would vote aye on the performance measure.
So Representative Jensen votes aye on the performance measures, which does not change the outcome. And then we voted on these first two budget notes regarding the performance measure and the distribution formula.
It's
actually one is the first paragraph.
Representative Jensen has voted aye on the budget notes and the performance measure.
Mr. Chairman, this is highly irregular.
Senator Devlin.
But can we get some general statements from the committee members on which version of this budget note they're more comfortable with?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Walker.
Why is that highly irregular?
Senator Walker, you'll have to ask Senator Devlin.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would like the record to show that when Senator Deckard left to find Representative Jensen, that he left the building, and leaving me to do his work while he goes to the Oregon State baseball game. That's highly irregular.
He's not even alone.
That is.
He's not even alone.
Well, well,
that record shows that he never found Representative Jensen either.
Mr. Chairman, what I could do is go through multiple motions. If the first motion fails, then I will try the second motion, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Well, before we get into that, may I simply say that the only substantial difference that I can see between the short budget note and the two-paragraph one is that it would be a joint report to the legislature. And maybe I should ask this in the form of a question. Do you see any other difference of substance between these two?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, I do not.
No. Thank you. If I may, Mr. Chair, I might short-circuit this by moving the shorter version as proposed by the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development.
Representative Barnhart has moved the shorter version of the budget note concerning apprenticeship bully discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to support the motion. Let me say, just by way of record, one of the reasons that I'm supportive of this motion, I know that there are people that, for legitimate reasons, will oppose this motion, is that this has been my second session in the subcommittee, and it's in no way saying anything about the chair or the former chair of the committee. But to some degree, we tend to pass over the workforce development portion of community colleges. We tend to not talk about it to great detail. And there's an enormous amount of public funds that are being expended here. And to some degree, I think it's because we, to some degree, reflect this concentration that society has, that individuals that go on to four-year colleges and earn degrees are doing something that's 110% worthwhile. And somehow, someone that goes on to be an electrician or a plumber isn't quite at the same level of that. And quite honestly, I know a lot of plumbers and electricians that make better wages than some PhDs. So I think it's time we started discussing a little bit more detail in this area. And I think this might open the door a little bit for us to have that discussion.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Any other discussion?
Representative Barnhart. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate very much the remarks of the good senator as a PhD who is currently making quite a bit less than any decent plumber. I appreciate those comments as well. In addition, as a member of the Workforce and Economic Development Committee this session, I had the opportunity to sit through a number of information meetings that were wonderfully explicit around the issue of workforce development, around the need for what I was referred to as professional and vocational education, and that everything we can do that would help coordinate and pursue a more streamlined process and a more adequate process we ought to do. I think this note helps move us in that direction.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Further discussion? Representative Jensen.
It appears I'm probably going to take a minority position on this particular budget note. The main thing that strikes me with this is that we are in the process of creating work for people, and especially for the community colleges whom we've already agreed to underfund, by my definition at least. I'm not sure that I see where the problem is. I'm not sure where the concerns are, though I can speculate as to where some of them may be. And thus, having no more information than I have, Mr. Chair, I will be in objecting to this budget note.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. The Chair will be joining Representative Jensen, thinks this budget note is unnecessary and knows that most electricians and plumbers make more than PhDs. Senator Morse, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. This is an activity that is vitally important, but I'm not sure that this budget note adequately addresses, and I'm not comfortable moving this budget note at this time.
Thank you, sir. So can we have a roll call on this budget note?
Senator Morse?
No.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Vote aye.
Vice Chair Devlin?
Yes.
Rep. Chair Jensen?
No.
Rep. Chair Edwards?
No.
Rep. Chair Barnhart?
Aye.
No. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Starr?
Is the dash one amendment?
Hey.
The House Bill 54?
Now we're talking.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Devlin?
I know that we have enough votes on this side ultimately to pass the budgets, but I would ask for to ask for Mr. Rocco to come in terms of whether or not our rules cover acting upon an amendment that has not been okayed by either co-chair to a budget.
Rules? We have rules?
We do have rules for this committee, yes. We have very...
This is highly irregular.
Yes,
Representative Barnhart.
I think the suggestion is that there's a rule that says the committee can't adopt an amendment unless it's been vetted first by the co-chairs. Is that what I have just heard?
That's what I'm hearing.
So you cannot...
I don't think I would have approved those kinds of rules, Mr. Chair.
I think we could discuss the amendment since it's been offered until we can get some ruling on whether or not the amendment has been properly offered.
If I may, Mr. Chair, if what Senator Devlin says is correct, it simply supports the assertion I made some time ago that the process by which we adopt budgets needs significant reform. The idea that once a matter is properly before the committee, it has to wait for the co-chair's permission to vote, I find quite astounding.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Devlin?
Not to be a defender of the current system, but to realize that in Ways and Means, I'm different from a policy committee. You can debate the merits of different policies and ultimately offer counter motions back and forth in committee and come to a resolution of what is the best policy. But we have not an infinite but a finite number of dollars to spend. So if every committee could simply offer amendments to any bill that was before them, saying how much that they would want to spend without looking at the overall picture, we would never have a budget that would come together in terms of expenditures and revenue.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. My understanding of this, and please correct me if I've misunderstood it, because I misunderstand a great deal about the budget process. But my understanding is that after this bill leaves this committee, it goes to the full Ways and Means Committee before it goes to either floor.
Yes.
If that is true, then any overview needed can be done at the full Ways and Means Committee at a public work session before the bill moves to the either floor.
So, Steve, does Mr. Rocco come in? He's at the game.
I was not able to get a hold of him. I think so.
He's at the game with Senator Decker. He drove Senator Decker. Senator Morse is going to be the only one.
And they're both looking for Representative Jensen.
He's obviously out here. He's with Professor Plummer tonight. Senator Morse.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I can appreciate the intent of this motion, but I believe that it sets a bad precedence that goes beyond the exigency that existed when K through 12 had this added to its budget previously. We did truly have a financial exigency at that time, and so the additional revenues that came in were allowed to be pre-directed to K through 12. I don't see this falling quite in the same category as we had in the previous occurrence. And so a matter of policy, I believe this sets a bad direction for the future.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Steve, did you want to make a comment?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention a little bit about the process. I know there have been some questions. I think the subcommittee can entertain amendments that it chooses to do. However, note that the co-chairs of Ways and Means, as are the chairs of, thank you, of any committee in either the House or the Senate, do have, within their authority, control over the agenda of the full Ways and Means Committee. And they may choose not to bring forward a recommendation of the subcommittee to the full committee for a vote. And I think that is the situation that is relevant here. I don't believe there's anything in the rules that would prevent you from making a vote on this amendment or any other amendments you would choose to do. I see that the legislative fiscal officer is here in the room, and he may also wish to comment on that.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. I think Mr. Bender has described the situation we have here. I don't believe this is in and of itself necessarily a part of the budget that we have. I think it's a separate amendment with its own identity,
mm-hmm.
and will not be heard in the full Ways and Means as a part of this community college budget, but will be heard by itself if they choose to hear it. And if it passes full Ways and Means and passes the full House, it would only then become a part of the budget. So I think Mr. Bender has provided the explanation. It's a matter of whether or not we want to vote on it.
Okay, thank you, Representative Jensen. Chair wishes to take a short recess. So,
back.
Okay, back for the short recess, and there's a motion on the Dash 1 amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had discussion. Yes. And Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to put on the record that I do believe that the parties that have brought this amendment forward are well-intended. But I can tell you that at this particular time in this session, I can't support this amendment. One of the reasons is I will compare it to how the amendment came about in the state school fund in the last session. There was probably no less than a two-month discussion of putting an escalator clause into the state school fund, largely because we were well below where we wanted to be. Some of us argued extensively for that at significantly higher numbers than the $23 million that ultimately was settled on. This particular budget note, I still think is well intended, but one of the difficulties we have in the community college support fund is that, first of all, maybe I should put on the record too that both I and the chair have worked to try to reflect the views of the committee in terms of getting the number as high as we could possibly get it. And I think we had to argue quite a bit with the co-chairs to get it up to the ultimate $500 million that it's at, which is an equivalent increase to what most of the other core education budgets receive. But part of it is, too, here is that when I compare this to particularly K through 12, I know exactly what I'm buying or what I'm losing every time I adjust the budget. That's because we have very extensive reporting. We have very extensive analysis on what the essential budget level is. We have very extensive analysis on what a real quality education system would be for K through 12. And a lot of us would like that to be PK through 20. We do not have that for community colleges, and I think a lot of us have wanted it, and we do have a commitment now from the governor that he will be putting that into place for the community colleges, and if we were short and we had a real analysis showing what this would actually do, I might be more inclined, but would have been arguing for it for the last month, not just an amendment appearing here today. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will be a no.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually do think there's a use for the money. We're not even funding the Skill-Up program. There's $2 million that isn't even on the table for this program, and those funds would be used for individual workers who need specific skills to qualify for employment or improved employment leading to higher wage jobs. So I think there is certainly a significant need for that money, particularly, and then there could be more money in the basic support fund. So I think community colleges have shown they need that extra cash, if you don't need to be so blunt about it. So I would be supporting the Dash 1 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Walker.
Further discussion?
Any further discussion? I have to align myself with Senator Devlin. I mean, one of the reasons I ran for the legislature is to fund post-secondary education community colleges in OUS, and we have worked hard to boost the operations number, and we're working hard on the capital. So it was a difficult position for me. I support the idea, but I feel as if the situation that I'm in as the chair, and in terms of the process, that it's my responsibility to be true to that process. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to be a no at this time. The other thing is, I just don't think, even if it passed out of this committee, I don't see it ultimately making it out of the full committee. That's another reason. So, Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to associate myself with the comments made by Senator Devlin. While I also support the concept codified by this amendment, I have concerns about passing it out of this committee, given that it hasn't been properly circulated among our colleagues, especially the co-chairs. And we don't fully understand the ramifications of passing this on other budget items.
Thank you, Representative Edwards. So, staff, call the roll, please.
On the badge thing.
Oh, did you comment yet?
No, I haven't.
I'm sorry. Hold that thought. Representative Jensen, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With all due respect to Senator Devlin, who has been in the building almost as long as I have. Joining us a good co-chair to on this. I don't share the concern that the good senator has regarding the ability to get a handle on, as he would refer to it, the quality education, I guess, coming out of the community colleges. And perhaps in some way it has been the strength of community colleges that they weren't encumbered with all of the things that K-12 and the universities were, that allowed them at their onset to have the flexibility that was necessary to reach out to the communities and to the public that they were charged to serve. I think the record, regardless of what community college that you go to or community college district you go to, is really pretty amazing. As we traveled, colleagues around the state with our Ways and Means hearings, I think nowhere did you get a more positive response from the public than you got for community colleges. And nowhere, I don't think, was the passionate plea for more help present than at the community college level. I don't know, Mr. Chair, that this amendment is the panacea or the answer or anything of that nature, but I do respectfully suggest that the issue needs to be raised and it needs to be talked about in this committee, and I would respectfully suggest it needs to be talked about in the full Ways and Means Committee and around the building. And so while I, as I say, may be in the minority here today, I still will be supportive of this.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Further discussion. Eric, will you call the roll?
Senator Walker.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Vice Chair Devlin.
No.
Co-Chair Schrader.
No.
Representative Jensen.
Aye.
Representative Edwards.
No.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Chair Valenzio.
Chair votes no.
Oh. And Co-Chair Nola.
No.
Motion fails.
A committee grew suddenly.
Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I do not want to cut off Representative Barnhart's discussion on this budget note, even though I know it has not been vented, so I don't want this to appear that I'm trying to cut him off. So if he wants to bring forward his budget note before I do a general motion.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. I move the budget note entitled Adult Continuing Education. And if I may, I'd like to speak to it.
Representative Barnhart has moved the budget note on adult continuing education. Discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. We changed our policy about adult continuing education, I think, 4 years ago, when the budget was in extremely dire straits, and the belief then at that time was that we had to stick to our knitting and deal with the core of the community college curriculum. And I think that was a mistake, even in the face of the budget shortfalls we had at that time. I don't believe that we clearly understood that we were tying the hands of local boards who have a number of tasks in front of them. Among those tasks are maintaining their connections with the rest of the community and maintaining community support for the purpose of local levies and local bond measures. And I think part of the problem that has resulted from the failure from this change in policy, which this budget note would reverse, is directly a result of that policy decision we made at that time. And I note that we just received from CAN a memo dated June 11, 2007, and I would refer you to the first part of the response on page 14. And I'd like to read just a little piece of that. There's a great deal more that you can read yourselves. And it says, most colleges would value being able to add their adult continuing education offerings. CCWD anticipated that refunding these programs would lead to an increase in adult community education in the 07-08 year. Many of the colleges already have ACE offerings completed for fall 07. However, by 08-09 academic year, those offerings would increase by another 2%. When ACE offerings were limited by a budget note, the note I already referred to, enrollment statewide dropped from 10% of total full-time equivalent for community colleges down to 4%. And I will note parenthetically, colleagues, that that's a 60% decline in that item. While 1% one year and 2% the next is not dramatic growth, it is a significant move to reconnect colleges with a broader spectrum of the community. CCWD has heard from colleges that this reconnection can be a major asset for increasing support for bond issues and for broadening donations to all the colleges. And then below that, colleagues, there are specific responses from three of the community colleges, and I think there weren't more simply because of the lack of time. I would additionally note that in effect, this budget note would allow local community colleges the flexibility of making their own budget decisions with limited funds on the portion of their budget that they would like to apply toward this community building coursework. And I would urge us to restore this level of local control. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Yes. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, did Representative Barnhart attempt to move his budget amendment?
I did.
He did. So, can we do a roll call vote on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, just by way of discussion, very quickly.
Yes.
My perception of this particular budget note, that if you were to do this, and actually I think that the change in covering these courses is actually probably something that happened in statute, probably not the budget note, because budget notes are not controlling. But if you attempted to do this now, and you're in this budget, there's $500 million going out into the community college support fund, supporting a certain level of FTE, you would be expanding the FTE, but not expanding the dollars. So you'd get fewer dollars per FTE would be the practicality of what this budget would do.
Thank you, Senator. So we call the roll so we can do this.
And there's a badge.
Senator Walker?
No.
Senator Starr?
No.
Vice Chair Devlin?
No.
Co-Chair Schrader?
No.
Co-Chair Jensen's?
Yes.
Yeah. Representative Edwards?
No.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Chair Galizio?
No.
And Co-Chair Nolan?
No.
Motion fails.
Chair, I would object on the basis it was not adequate time
Mr. Chairman, Senator Devlin. Mr. Chairman, I move the full budget to Ways and Means, the community college budget, with all the LFO recommendations, with the budget notes that we did approve, all the LFO recommendations, including the changes to the budget, including the adjustments to the line items, and including the performance measures, and the record of our discussion here to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin, you heard the motion by Senator Devlin. Any discussion? We do a roll call. Eric, come.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
No.
Vice Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Trustee Barnhart.
Aye.
Chair DeLuzio.
Chair votes aye.
Co-chair Nolan.
Aye.
Motion carries. Representative Holvey is going to carry this on the House floor. Senator Devlin will carry it to the Senate floor and to the full committee. And with that, I'm closing the work session on 5012, and we are adjourned.